Hello, welcome to Therapy Talks. I'm Chris Place and I'm a psychotherapist. In this podcast series, I'll be chatting with different people about their experiences, their lives, their loves, their challenges, and what helps them find their way forward in the world. And also chat to different therapists and researchers about the models of therapy that they use to get a better understanding of these different approaches and how these different approaches might be useful at different times for different people. Hopefully it'll be lots of human connection and conversation about the challenges we have and also about what helps us get through. I hope it's going to be fun, enjoyable, entertaining, engaging, informative. Anyway, let's go on the journey. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Therapy Talks. I'm very excited today. I'm in a coffee shop and I'm drinking coffee. So I know I'm onto a good start. You know, in the first season, I think it was season one, I had a favorite cafe at the time called Cafe Temple. And I used to go in there when I was working. And so I met them and recorded them and it was great. And at last they closed. But fear not, I now have a new favorite cafe. And it's called Cali in Salt Hill. And I have the owners of Cali, Laura and Enda, here, sitting. We're all sitting at the counter. We had to close the blinds just in case people came in and asked for coffee because they're closed today. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and doing the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because I was saying that I hadn't anything prepared, which is true, but I was thinking about this, like, when I come in here on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, this is my therapy.
Ah, God.
Because there's a warmth that you both have, that there's a sense of welcoming, that it's not just coming in to get a coffee. I don't know if that makes sense.
So nice to hear that. Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, because and dogs can come in, which is even better. So you get these huge, and babies.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, babies and dogs are welcome. Yeah.
Triple therapy.
So it is. I was talking to Tom about it. Tom is a friend of mine who gets mentioned in the podcast regularly, but we both said, yeah, this is like therapy for us. Do you know, we come out, you're going, that was great.
Yeah. Great, I'm glad, because sometimes I worry that we talk too much and there are people that just want coffee and we're like, so tell us your life story.
Talk to us. Tell us everything.
So it's nice to hear that it's a good experience for you.
There's just the ambience and the warmth, and it's a small place. It's small. And yet, you know, you seem to kind of have plenty. I don't know. It's just like really utilized space or something like that.
Thanks.
I think it also goes down to the way we designed the space as well. It's very small, so you can't have individual tables and chairs.
Mm.
You have to have like these open benches.
Yeah.
Forcing people to actually look at each other and face each other.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of talk to each other. And like, because it's so small, you know, the idea of eavesdropping, I know it's a negative way, but it's also like people in tune or get in tune to people's conversations, and so they want to, like, you know, take part in it and they want to help out, and I think it actually encourages chat, and we've made some really lovely friends from here, and I think other people, it's really one of the best things is to see people connect, like random people connect, and maybe like see a relationship developing from that.
It's lovely. It's the communal, that's the thing. I think I realize it's the communal space. Mm-hmm. Like, even though you're coming in here and you're, with your separate life, but you suddenly come in and all of these other people are potentially people who you might have nothing in common or loads in common.
Mm.
And there's something really lovely about that. And like, I've been here chatting with Lisa, Lisa who did the podcast, Lisa Berry. Like, it was literally in here that we met. I was just chatting to her and she said, I'm a yoga teacher. And I was like, oh, would you like to be on the podcast? Do you know?
Great.
Like, I just love that.
Oh yeah. Tom was actually saying that she teaches Tom.
She teaches Tom. Yeah. That was it, yeah.
And she finds it funny when people are like, this is my yoga teacher. Like, she's like a primary school teacher.
Yeah, yeah. This is my yoga teacher. And this is my therapist. They're all here in Cali. How long is Cali here now?
We just celebrated 2 years there.
Really?
So in January. Well, we're in January now, but on the 2nd of January, which is wild.
Mm.
And I think, if am I mistaken, on the 2nd of January you went out and celebrated.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We went out and had a lovely dinner. It was really nice food, and then we got food poisoning from it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you fainted.
I did. I passed out. I just remember going up to get sick and then blackout, and then waking up and looking at the ceiling. It was pretty rough.
And you,
knocking on his parents' door, Paul Jacinta, Paul Jacinta, Paul Jacinta, will you wake up, please?
Because you're staying in your
in my parents' house at the moment, so it's been fun. A great way.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
We call it the Great Purge of
2023. The Great Purge, yeah.
But I feel really good because I feel like I've gotten all the sort of stuff from last year out.
I'm brand new.
I'm a new version of myself for the new year.
Because you seem different. You've got a glow about
you. Thank you.
God, this guy's glowing. What is he doing? Oh, yeah.
The radiation from the food poisoning.
Because actually Tom, it's funny, Tom got some food somewhere. And went out and got really bad food poisoning as well.
No way.
Like literally a couple of days after we've been and it was like, you know, without going into details on the podcast, everyone who's having their breakfast, but it was pretty.
It was both ends. Is that you too much?
Without going into detail, it was both ends.
I promise I'll edit out. I won't. I absolutely won't. And so you're here 2 years, and why? I know why you sound such a. It's a, as therapists don't say why, but like, what was it about doing something like this?
My only jobs have ever been in hospitality. Actually, that's a lie, because I did work in social media too, but
in the podcast studios of Dublin, actually.
In a podcast studio. I didn't do any of the techie stuff, so don't worry. I literally just showed up and was like, can I take a photo of you for the socials? But my first job was in a takeaway in Dublin. For 3 years I worked there when I took a break from college, and I just really loved hospitality and chatting with people and that I really like getting that job. I left school, I was 17 when I did the Leaving Cert, so I was so young, such a baby. I was so anxious and nervous all the time. But having that job like forced me to talk to people. Like, it's part of your job, so you have to do it. So I just really loved that. And then I got into event work and other jobs, like, and then when we had met by then, but you had been getting interested in coffee. Started showing me things in coffee. Then I got a coffee job that like just taught me kind of from the bottom up.
And so you both in Dublin? Were you in Dublin?
I was in college in Galway, but then I did placement for my degree, which is civil engineering, in Dublin. And we had met just before that, actually.
Through friends.
Through friends.
Yeah.
In Dublin. And then,
And you've been, what a journey. And so you met in Dublin, but you were really interested in coffee?
Yeah, so how it started for me is that it's an interesting one, because I was doing civil engineering and energy. I ended up finishing the degree, but honestly, pretty quickly into the degree, I realized it wasn't for me. It was a very tumultuous time, actually, for me.
In what way? Because, that okay to ask that?
Because I felt like I was led down this pathway of, like, you know, the very, very traditional, go to school, do your exams, go to college, finish that, get a good job, stable job, and then eventually retire and die.
No living in between.
And like, I felt like I was almost brainwashed into that. And then there was some realization once I got to college that, why did I get into that space, and then realizing, no, this is not for me, but then realizing I had no other option. And had to do that, because I guess that was like how it was shown to me growing up.
It's kind of the conditioning, isn't it?
Yeah, like, exactly. It was a conditioning, yes.
You know, this is what everyone does.
Yes, yeah.
It's really interesting. I teach psychotherapy stuff and that, and one of the things I used to do in the university was I'd be teaching in the university and I'd say to students, like, there's a concept called self-actualization, but in the context it's used is that idea that when we're born to be who we are, and like everything we do is, you know, we're babies, we're like rah, whatever, that's our actualizing tendency. And then the thing is, we need, I've said this probably 100 times in the podcast, but anyway, but we need to be loved as well, you know. So there's this idea of conditions of worth, you know, so like the idea then we kind of grow into the world kind of going, all right, well, this is I'll be loved if I do this, that and the other. I'm not saying that was the way it was, but you know, that idea that we kind of have this identity that we learn that in a way we have to follow certain paths because that's how we'll be accepted in society or whatever. And often then the problem with that is if it's not answering that deep kind of deeper voice within, we can become depressed and anxious and stressed.
And I would say that's exactly how it turned out for me. And that kind of like, to, like you said, like be accepted societal with everyone, like family, friends and all. But then realizing that, you know, that self-actualization. And I guess it took many years still ongoing of therapy to kind of go to go through that. I wouldn't say get over that, go through that.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah,
it's
a process.
It's a journey, life journey, really, I think, of Carol Rogers says it's a process of becoming a person. It's a journey.
Yeah, you know? exactly. And then going through that, I actually one day was trying to figure out, okay, so what is it that I want to do? And I was walking down Shop Street and the guys from Coffee Working Press were out and they were like, we're doing a coffee cupping upstairs in the cafe. And I was like, oh, what's that? I didn't know what that was. And I only started drinking coffee when I started in engineering and I thought it was like tar and I hated it.
So you weren't a coffee drinker?
I was not a coffee drinker at all. I hated it and I thought, this is disgusting, but I'll do it anyway because...
That's what you do.
To be part of that societal norm and conditioning, you have to drink coffee, right? So then I went to the tasting and it was led by the Coffee Collective, which are based in Copenhagen in Denmark. And one of their marketing dudes was there and he was leading the cupping and he had like 8 different coffees on the table. And he said, just go around, taste it, sort of guide us through. It was very...
So like wine tasting?
It was like wine tasting and it was really casual. That was his attitude towards it was just casual. We were all novices. It was me and a bunch of friends and he was like, just taste it. Tell me what pops into your head, how you feel. And honestly, like I was 3 different coffees in and I didn't realize that there's 3 different types of coffee and my mind just exploded and like did like 3 double flips. And
so
I was like, what is this? I need to know more.
The days of Maxwell House.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong with Maxwell House. I apologize.
Thanks to our sponsor today, Maxwell House.
but you know, like there's an idea of instant coffee or what we grew up with is so far removed from the idea of this. So you discovered something, you were like, oh, and it was like absolute
fireworks. Like it was crazy. Yeah, I will never forget it. Like
that's amazing.
Even to this day,
it just blew your mind.
Absolutely, like. Yeah, ripped it shreds and said, start again.
Start again. It was so there was something then, civil engineering didn't have that impact on me.
No, absolutely not. No.
So I mean, there'll be people out there, and I know people who are engineers who are absolutely passionate about it.
Mm.
And like, it is their life, you know, and they love it.
Mm.
But it's that thing, we are all so different and I always think that thing that we can find meaning in what we do and that like it sort of makes the hard days easier.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, if the amount of effort and work and time we've put into Cali, if I was to equate that to a civil engineering job, I'd be so far gone from there because unless it's only because of the meaning and the passion and the like sort of indescribable meaning or direction
keep pointing at your heart. And as a therapist I'm like, where is he touching his, you know, okay, what's that?
Yeah,
do you know it is, it's that
it thing, is it's it? Like it's, I don't know, it's almost like an invisible pull, if you get me.
Yeah,
going like, just keep going.
Yeah.
So
so when I teach the students, I'd say, okay, so let's imagine there's this person and they have a family business. And they've always, the family, you know, like, this has been the way. And the parents work really hard, and for them to carry on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's part of the community. And it's a really important part of the community. And really doing amazing things. And this person plays a guitar. Just want to play music. That's all I want to do. So they want to go busking. And there's no money in busking.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to, and it's like, and you're kind of saying, so what does this person do?
Mm.
Like, and... It's not always that straightforward, and it's not always, you know, like it's often can be more complex, and sometimes people might just, you know, do the family business but play music in the evening. But sometimes people will have to go, I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to do what I have to do, you know. And I love that. I love hearing people who can discover that fire within and then make it their job.
True. And that argument, that argument was said, like, oh, you're a barista, like, that's what you want to do. And it's a common thing amongst people in our industry. like baristas and stuff, where they're like, oh, that's an in-between job.
It's like you do when you're young.
Exactly. Or, you know, summer, you know, in between semesters or whatever.
Yeah, I feel for Lana, who works with us, that she finds when she goes home, say like at Christmas, and she says like, oh yeah, I'm Brissa, and like she loves here. She said the other day that coming to work brings her, gives her energy, doesn't drain it, like, which is so nice to hear. But yeah, over Christmas it was like, yeah, I'm Brissa, and they're like, oh, and when are you gonna move on from that? Like, it really is a kind of looked down upon job. It is the summer job kind of thing.
Yeah. And it is, and it's sad, because I mean, before I did therapy, I was an actor, you know, and like, but like acting in Galway, like we were doing, you know, we were writing our own plays, we were on the Dole and Lunchtime Theatre, and it was great, and I loved it. But there was that thing of like, okay, so you're playing now. And then I went into psychology and all that kind of stuff, but I still think of those times, you know, that sort of sense of like, it did have meaning and it did matter. And, you know, people might perceive it as kind of, you know, being lazy or being whatever, but you know, it's, and that idea of what you do, like, because like when you talk about coffee and you talk about the passion for it, it's clearly not a summer job. Do you know?
Yeah,
it's not something you're gonna, I'm just doing this a bit of time.
Yeah,
you're passionate. So that was your journey into it. So coffee work and press and having that
blew my mind. And then I had to just really, I went home and I just researched as much as I could, found people on social media that were in deep into it, and just started following their journey and seeing what they were discovering. Right now there's this like insatiable appetite for like research and development of coffee, and there's certain people out there who are just leading this, and it's really amazing to be someone on the outside, just watch it, because you can just see this hunger for like discovery and finding out more about your craft that I really, really appreciate it. And it was just through that contagious, you know, so I felt that energy.
You wanted to be part of that.
And just doing that, and then I went up to Dublin and I did a barista course up there, and then I got some work experience through that, and then the teacher who was actually leading the course was leaving and to start his own cafe, and he asked would I like to join him, and I said yes, absolutely. So at the time I was doing 7 days a week. I was working 5 days in a quarry for my civil engineering job, and then 2 days on the weekend.
So you were working as a civil engineer?
I was like part of my placement
up in Dublin.
So I was doing that 5 days a week, and then on the weekends I'd go and work in this cafe. So I was like, I'll do that bit, and then the 2 days I'm like, yes, I'll do what I actually want to do in the 2 days. And then through that, kind of just like finished my degree.
So you did do the degree, you completed
it? Yeah, I know. Like in the meantime, you still stuck with the degree and finished it.
Degree in engineering. Yeah. And it's funny because I did business studies and I did a diploma. I think it was back then when it was in the 90s, it was diploma in accountancy. And then I said, right, I hate this. I'll do marketing for a year. So I did a diploma in marketing. And then the idea was to go and do your degree. So it was like an ordinary degree and then an honours degree. And I remember I did that for the first, I was there for a week or whatever, and I went, do you know what? I'm going to take a year out and focus on directing and acting and just get that out of my system. And this was my rationale. So it was a great year, directing a play in the Drama Society in RTC or GMIT or whatever it's called, Atlantic Technical ATU. And went back then, the following year, I was literally in there 2 days. And I went, right. And I stood up. Walked out, went up to the head of business or whatever, and I says, I'm out. And that was it.
Great.
Congratulations. Couldn't do it. And you know, some of my best friends are accountants, like, and they, you know, it's great, like, but I just couldn't do it. It wasn't for me. And so I went down and started doing plays. And so I love hearing people who do that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people listening will be, well, certainly I'm enthused to hear the passion, the excitement, and that's the thing that we need to drive us. So that was so that's how you discovered it. And Nora, did you get into it through Enda?
Yeah, so you got like a little at-home espresso machine.
Oh yeah, I did.
And you were teaching me, he was teaching me on that, and then I got a job in a cafe in Dublin just as like a, like I started on the till, and then I started learning more about coffee, and that was great. Like that was such a fun job. Mm. I really loved doing it. I loved working in town. That was like really new to me because all my other jobs have been like outside of town. Mm. So
it was like right in the heart of town.
Yeah, it was like Connolly. Like it was really great in the docks of Dublin. And
wow. So right in the city centre.
Yeah, and it was like for all the business, like it was the business district. So it was like the big rush before nine and then chill and then the big rush at lunch and then chill. And just like banging out loads of coffees. So it was just such good fun. I love that repetitive, like over and over. And I love chatting with people and finding out how they were and what their weekend was like. And oh yeah, it was also Monday to Friday. So that was great.
So, but there's something about the social side of it for you.
Yeah.
So like on the one hand, you're talking about something about like the passion for coffee itself. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about that, but you're talking about something else as well. Mm. That it's not just an exchange, you know, I give you money and you give me a coffee and I go, oh, nice coffee. There's something more to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And even, especially with the people I was working with too, I really loved working with them. Like a photo came up and you're this time like 3 years ago or 4 years ago and it was me in the cafe, which was so weird to see. But I was like, oh, I loved that job so much. Yeah. Especially Simon, the manager who I worked with, who now works in a cafe in Sligo. He moved all the way across Ireland.
It's Rover's Coffee Lab, I think.
Yeah.
Rover's Coffee Lab.
Rover's Coffee Lab.
Great spot.
Yeah, in Sligo.
Check it out, people in Sligo. Yeah.
We haven't even been yet, but they're really into their coffee too. But yeah, I guess then that taught me a lot about coffee, but wasn't like super focused on quality of like specialty and like every cup has to be the best. No offense to the cafe.
No, but it's interesting when you're talking about it because I am a sort of an uneducated coffee person. Do you know, I'm kind of like, I bought my wife for Christmas a bean to cup machine.
Lovely.
And like, she loves coffee, you know, and sort of make these, and there's like it's a Smeg machine, so it's really cool. So you can have like a long orange or something like that. So she likes, that's her favorite, the long orange. So that means you press this orange button and you get a long.
But like amazing.
But I suddenly was tasting it going, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're going, so I bought coffee beans off ye. And then we got other coffee beans and you can, there's different, like there are differences. Like, and I was kind of going, there's something in my brain.
That's the spark that I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I was kind of going, this is fascinating. And then I was watching there was a podcast, I was listening to a podcast with some dude who's a microbiome's the thing of the inner gut stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that, really good coffee, dark black coffee, like Americano or whatever, that when you have it, it has these popular and it fermented. It's fermented so that it's really good for your gut flora.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, okay.
Cool.
So that was really interesting.
And even with some of the coffees that we source, the way that they're processed off the tree before they come to the roastery is fermented with either yeast bacteria or other kinds of bacteria, and they can be fermented for however many hours, and you can get these like phenomenal, insane flavors that you like. How can that be possible?
Yeah.
And I guess that would help that as well.
So it's just really interesting when I was listening to that. I can't remember what even they're called, polypanol. Anyway, but it was fascinating. There was an education going on.
Yeah.
You were also working,
mm-hmm.
and that's Dublin. And then,
we decided we were going to move to Amsterdam.
Really?
So we moved to Amsterdam.
No way, did you?
Yeah.
So we saved up and we moved to Amsterdam.
You're both living in Dublin at this point.
No, I was actually working. I ended up getting a job in Coffee Working Press.
Oh, really?
It was like full circle.
We were on a flight. We got on the plane to go to South Africa. Yeah. So Enda's mom worked in Botswana for a few years. She's worked all around the world. But something really interesting about Enda. But
your mom
yeah.
worked in Botswana.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were going out to visit.
What was she doing in
Botswana? She worked with the UN.
That's so cool. That's fascinating.
Yeah, she's had a fascinating life.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were on the flight and Dan called you. You had a phone. You were about to turn your phone off.
So this Daniel who...
From Coffee Work.
Yeah.
And was like, hey,
because I got to do a shout out to Steve, who used to be one of the head baristas for Coffee Work and Press way back then. I think he was one of the original team. When they first set up, and he saw my passion, or he saw how many flips my brain did, and he was like, he just was like, try this coffee, try that coffee. And it was every time I used to go in there, he'd be like, oh, how about this? And he would be talking to me about it. And
look at the love in his face. I used to call Steve Enda's boyfriend.
I know. I'm looking at him, I'm kind of going, this guy really inspired you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then one day after I did my training in Dublin and I did a bit of work experience up there, I got the job up there as well. Yeah, I got the job up there. The place I was working 2 days a week. Oh yeah, I quit that.
Yeah, because we so,
I had to come back and finish my degree. Yeah. Anyway, I gave him my CV to Steve, and he was like, "All right." And then he put in a good word, and so Dan called me.
Dan rings you, and
And then I was like, "Absolutely!" But I'm away in Botswana for a month or something. Came back and then started there. That was immediately after I finished my degree. It was like pretty
much. So how many years ago was that?
7 years. Mm-mm. Five.
Nah, less. When did you graduate?
2016.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah,
oh,
6 years.
That's horrible. That's 6 years ago.
I don't even want to. Whatever.
Okay, we won't get into it.
I'm having a whole age envy thing.
Oh no! Oh God! And I have such age insecurity. Actually, yeah,
you have age.
That this is like something different.
Really?
Yeah, like with the business and stuff.
As in, you feel?
I feel very like I don't like saying my age because I feel like
that is true. Like bursts the bubble.
Okay. They say, "Oh, you're only."
Yeah, they're like, "Oh,
yeah."
Oh, yeah.
It kind of loses its. Sense of worth almost. I don't know.
It's like you lose respect or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I can really appreciate that actually. So there's almost something about like you, people suddenly say, oh, you're 20 something or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, you're not supposed to. It's almost like you.
Yeah. Look at them.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting.
So you worked with Coffee Work and Press then for a few years?
I only worked there for a year actually before.
You went to Amsterdam.
Then going to Amsterdam. That's right.
So you moved. Two of you moved to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Wow.
A great place to live. We loved it so much. I think if we were to move away again, I'd love to move back to Amsterdam.
And did you live in Amsterdam for long?
About a year. A year again. We both worked in coffee.
And that actually, like for me personally, it was really galvanizing in terms of like what I wanted to do in coffee and knowing more about coffee.
Is it a different ethos there or in Amsterdam? Or?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like Galway's very small. So at the time when I first started getting the coffee, the two main ones were Urban Grind and Coffee Work and Press.
They were the two
coffee shops. Yeah. And then there was also Badger and Dodo, but which is now Top Shelf as well. And
they're still there.
Phenomenal cafe. And then Little Lane showed up as well. And
So they were the main coffee specifically and, focused on
Equality. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when going over to Amsterdam, I mean, unfortunately, the Dutch have colonized lots of coffee growing regions of the world.
So is that the ethical issues of coffee?
Yeah, that's very much so.
Yeah, yeah,
But because of that, there's a rich history and a lot of coffee goes through the Netherlands before it goes out to the other parts of Europe. And it allowed me to, it's just a completely different world. Yeah. And it allowed me to really just explore it to as much as I could while we were there.
So your palate then is deepening and developing all the time.
Yeah.
When you're having those experiences and drinking these and being in these different environments, like these different places. It's funny, isn't it? Because I'm such a, you know, cafes in Amsterdam.
We work in a cafe. Yeah, we had to stop saying coffee shop.
Coffee shop, but that's not a cafe.
No, it's not a cafe. We didn't work in any coffee shops.
So that's as much as
I would have liked to.
Just for the experience.
But
cafes are different than there.
Just like here it would be like a cafe.
So there was way more specialty coffee shops available. Way more roasteries, way more green coffee buyers. So they're the dudes that go to the origin, coffee growing region, and then they obtain the coffee.
So green coffee buyer.
That's a green coffee buyer.
So they go directly to source.
They buy the coffee there and they bring it to Europe and then redistribute it to other roasteries. Yeah. So and there's a lot based in the Netherlands, so it allowed us to experience that.
Well, more so you. Like I got a job in
a really
nice company, the Coffee Virus, which is unfortunately probably not the best timing for COVID, not the best name. But I really loved working there, and it was Monday to Friday again. I like my weekends. That's what
we both had Monday to Friday, so we had a really good work-life balance.
But it was more, there was like a food and there was some kitchen work in it and stuff, which was fine. It gave me a lot of experience, but you, I would say, had a much... an experience that really helped with setting up Cali.
I got lucky. I actually got employed by Google out there to set up a cafe
You got employed by Google.
Yeah, to set up a cafe for them.
Aren't you fascinating?
In their offices,
yeah. In their offices. Really? Yeah.
So that you got a job to literally set up a cafe.
Help them set up the cafe, yeah.
And so were you going to be the main barista?
Yeah, pretty much the manager of the place as well, yeah. And then they had a budget which was endless. So I was like, fantastic. Let's go on tour and check out all these roasteries.
There was no budget.
Yeah, there was no budget.
For all the... Wow.
So I was able to get some really phenomenal machines and no money transaction as well. So it was very much customer based. So someone would come up and then you just chat about, you know, what coffee they want. And the idea for them was to bring the specialty experience to people working in the office. So they didn't want to just be your average cafe. And sure, that absolutely aligned with what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that fit your values completely in terms of how you wanted to, where you wanted to work. And it wasn't just a quick call.
Just hitting me off the menu.
Everyone panic. What's that noise?
And then through that, I was able to visit so many roasteries, and I ended up working with a guy called Clay Tobin, who co-owns Uncommon Coffee Roasteries, and he sort of helped me out as well with seeing other roasteries and people in the coffee industry.
Where do you go to roasteries? Would be in Amsterdam, or
they'd be kind of around the. So roastery doesn't have to be like a brick and mortar on a shop street, because you know they distribute, so they can be outside the city.
So do you buy, so like a roast, so the coffee beans come in and then they have to be roasted before they're ready to be.
Yeah, exactly. Usually what happens is the green coffee buyer will go to the farm, purchase the coffee, bring it back to Europe, and then roasteries will go to them going, they'd sip the coffees and go, I want that one, I want this one, I want that one, and pay for it. The green coffee buyer ships it to the roastery. The roaster then roasts it, and usually they don't really have a cafe associated to them, so they then distribute it to all the cafes around the city or cities.
And is there an art in roasting?
Absolutely.
An art,
yeah.
A science.
I would say, like, it's really coffee is amazing because you have to get every step of the journey right. The barista, us at the end of the day, we're here to serve the final product.
Yeah.
But unless the roaster has done it, unless the green coffee buyer has done it, unless the producer has done it properly, we won't be able to produce.
How a farm is run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is like important. How the people are, you know, I'm just thinking of the ethics of, you know, so the history of coffee and the history of lots of these things. But like if you've got, if you've got an ethically run place, that's going to translate into the quality 100%. Of the coffee bean, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, as opposed to something that might be different?
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's not the common thing.
Is it not?
No. Farmers are exploited every single day. That's why it's very important for the likes of specialty coffee. So, especially coffee shops who are truly special, who get their coffee from roasters who are accredited.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. It's. I mean, I wouldn't be open if it wasn't that.
You couldn't do it.
No way. No. Because I mean, when you look at commercial grade coffee, so coffee is rated from on a point system from 0 to 100.
Okay.
And specialty coffee technically comes from 80 points above. Okay. So when they're called a Q grader, which is like a sommelier, but for coffee.
Yeah.
And they go to the farm, they taste the coffee, and then independently they can give it a point system. And if it goes 80, it's specialty, i.e., it will fetch a higher price.
But it also means for speciality that the environment itself has to be a positive environment.
Yeah.
Is that part of it as well? Or not necessarily, but...
Yeah, that's a tricky question. Yeah, not necessarily. But usually to get a coffee to be at that stage, it'll have to be.
Yeah.
But not necessarily, because exploitation still happens every single day.
Yeah.
So it's very important to be buying coffee, and for cafes especially, not even the consumer, because the onus is not on the consumer.
Yeah.
It's on the people who know, i.e. the cafe owners, actually the roasters, to be sourcing their coffee from
places that you know
that are good.
And so that's how you kind of operate then.
So through Calendar Coffee, they actually just produced their booklet somewhere on their traceability, so how much they pay the farmers and everything, and so their vision and mission for the next 2 years.
Isn't that really cool then? So that's very kind of what's the word I'm looking for? It's transparent.
That is so important. There is an argument made about being too transparent, i.e. you'll end up, people will exploit the farmer, because let's say a roaster buys a coffee for this amount of money from a farmer this year, and then another roaster comes back the year after that, and the farmer asks for more money, they can go, well, you gave that farmer this coffee for that price. So there's huge debate. It's a very It's fluctuating all the time. Yeah, it's very nuanced.
It's really interesting. It's not a simple black and white though. No. It's very shades of gray.
Very, yeah.
I'm literally, this is an education for me.
I know, people don't know.
No, I didn't know. And I do appreciate that, like, some of the bigger producers of, you know, coffee that people might have in their press or whatever, they're not specialty necessarily, so that it might be a different standard.
Yeah, commercial grade is what they, so they'd be the coffees that score 80 below, which is fine. I mean, that's okay. Just to be aware of what you're what you're purchasing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We kind of got off topic there.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm fascinated. I'm just, no, that it's brilliant. I suppose it's just interesting that it's not that you've just set up a cafe where you're going to sell coffee.
Yeah, like when we started, when Laura and I were doing all this, we were like, why are we setting this up? And it's for a way of life, really, to be honest with you. I always say it, and it's like my mantra, it's our way of life.
Yeah.
You put out into the world what you wish to receive back, basically. And if we put out a cafe that's inviting, that is not intimidating for people to come in, but also that follows the line all the way through from us serving the coffee to the farmer at the end. I think there's a relation between like finding meaning in what you want to do and actually staying true to it and being faithful to it. And if I'm a carpenter and I find a lot of meaning to that, the likelihood is that you're going to be, you know, ethical in how you you get your wood and how and the practices you use for it and building.
Yeah,
you won't exploit because you know that that will tarnish your meaning.
Mm-hmm. It will do something to your meaning. It will impair your meaning. It will become suddenly that this is no longer about meaning.
Yeah,
about,
and you're almost lying to yourself or you're taking that bit away from yourself. Yeah. I think there's a relationship there. And honestly, it would be really great if everyone could find, not everyone could find them. I think everyone does have a meaning, but from my experience, societal conditioning almost like makes you not see it.
Both of you, and I'm not trying to out you as people in therapy or whatever who've done therapy, but like you're familiar with therapy.
Yeah.
Like you've done your own journeys.
Yeah.
So there's something about that sense of doing our journey, you know, like looking at our shit, you know, realizing that this isn't working for me. You know, how I'm, whatever. And this, I'm curious about that. I'm curious about the parallels in a way, even though your journey into coffee was like an ignited passion. But there's something about when something isn't working versus when something is working.
Yeah, true.
You know, and how that impacts us on an emotional level or, you know, our anxiety or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, God, I don't know. The body holds the score, doesn't it? Isn't that the book?
It's true.
Bessel van der Kolk, yeah.
Not that I've read it. I can't say that.
That's okay.
I just know the name.
I've read it. I read the back of it. That's fine. I have it on my shelf.
I read the blurb.
Yeah. Kind of going, what's this? I read somebody's review of it.
But yeah, no, I truly do believe that, like, you know when something isn't working for you, even if in your head you're like, no, everything's fine. Like, your body will tell you. And also that what you put out is what will come back to you, which I think it really... like you said, that coming into the cafe is really welcoming. It's really nice to hear that because I feel like we put out really nice vibes, but that means that we get really nice people in. So I really do believe that because we're nice people, we get nice people in.
but there is something about it though. It's not a case. Do you know what I think about it is, like, you can go into a place and somebody can be really friendly and polite, but it can be often like a role.
It's customer service.
You know, it's like my sister did her master's or degree or something many years ago in human resources or something.
Yeah.
And it was something called emotional labor. And emotional labor is this idea that, you know, I'm there saying, hello, nice to meet you, welcome. And inside I want to throttle you, you know? and that's quite a stressful thing.
Yeah.
So when I come in here, I never get that set. Now, I might pick up that maybe you're having a bad day or people are having a bad day. We all get that for some reason. But I think it's the authenticity of it, if that makes sense.
We say, like, we'll be like, you know, actually today's been shit.
Yeah. Like, I think one of the first times I had a conversation with you and myself and Tom were here, and you said something like, it was just something that I just remember going, that's really cool. It was just like the darkness, you know. Like, you know, the existential plight of humanity or something. And it was like something like, Yeah, myself and Tal walked out going, yeah, that's class.
That's class.
Because we'd come in and go, how are you? Oh, we're in the dregs.
We're all going to die anyway.
We're all on a quick shuttle to. We're born to die.
I guess it's being honest, like, not being overly, not being negative the whole time, but being honest to a customer, being honest to someone who comes in. Like, you know, that sense of superficiality, that's not honest. You're putting forward this niceness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can see straight through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're anywhere self-aware. So being honest to someone, I think that makes connection way
and
more so.
You can't get along with everyone in life.
Absolutely.
Like, you're not going to.
No, and
so
there's
like,
people not, you know, come in and go, oh, I didn't like that.
And
or
there's times where like someone comes in and I look at it and I'm like, can you take this order, please? Like, we swap around.
Yeah.
Like,
but you kind of have to, you know, you have to look after yourself. Exactly.
Too.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose for me, it's like, it's the same as therapy. Like, as a therapist, it's like, by no means will I be the right therapist for all clients, because I won't be. But it is a relationship, and it has to be an honest interchange. Like, so there's a concept called congruence, or being genuine.
Mm.
Like, as a therapist, I have to be genuine. So that means sometimes, like, yeah, you know, how are you today, Chris? Ah, oh, listen, I've been up since 5.
Yeah.
And but let's, you know, but my goal is always to meet somebody. And if I'm real with myself as best I can be, then I can be real with somebody else and we can have a real, real connection. And that's different than saying, tell me about your problems or whatever. Like, you know, that the cliche or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something with that authentic connection. So I think that's what I'm loving. Like the idea for you, it's, again, it's not just a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a roasting, but it's all of that. And it's also how you relate to people.
Yeah.
So it's a much bigger, it's just different.
Yeah.
It's a lovely, it's like a philosophy behind it there.
Yeah. And it actually really scared us when we were hiring that, like, we feel the cafe is so us that, like, we'll bring someone else in. Will people be like, oh, they're not, Lauren and I aren't here. Like, who's this stranger?
Yeah.
Lana. Lana's not related to you.
No. We just, like,
I assumed she was a relationship because it's such
an
energy.
People ask if we're sisters all the time because we end up saying the same things all the time.
Yeah,
we make the same
but
noises.
But again, I feel like what you put out into the world is what you get back. And we got back, like, Lana when we, you know, advertised for the job and stuff. But, like, I mean, talk about an absolute fist. Like,
Lana is such a shiny ball of, like, positivity. She's so great. And I know, like, she really loves being here and I love having her. We were having, like, a heart-to-heart over pints the other night and we were both tearing up. It was very cringy. But she is such a perfect fit and she's very aware, very, like, has had her own journey with personal therapy and things and that it was just perfect. Yeah, you get what you put out, you get back. So we definitely got a star.
That's class.
Yeah, she's great.
I think, like, the way that the relationship works is we're not all the same people. We're not all the same in terms of interests. Like you said, like, I'm very much like, oh, the coffee science and the coffee itself, or as Laura's like human connection. And it's those, like, differences in us that actually make it's like...
So the whole is more than some of the parts kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
That is the thing then. Mm. So you bring different energies to it.
Yeah.
And those energies support each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And support the, you know, very complex human beings that come into this.
Plenty of them.
I love coffee. I love learning about coffee and tasting different coffees, but there is a point where I'm not really looking to learn more about the science of it. And Lana just wants to consume everything.
So
she's
really open to the
I feel like you fit together, both of you fit
with
together
that,
so well. Like, when we hired Lana, I was like, yay, he can talk to you
have
about coffee.
Like, we do every Wednesday we close at 4, but then for an extra hour after that before we start clean up, Lana and I do coffee experiments. Where anything that, like, is peculiar, we're interested in, we just fire away, experiment with it and see what changes or what can be discovered.
Do you roast your coffee?
We actually don't. So we get it through Calendar Coffee Roasters.
Okay, through Calendar Coffee Roasters,
In Uachtaráid.
Okay, wow.
Big shout out to them.
Hello, Calendar Coffee Roasters.
Yeah.
Please share this podcast
with
all your friends.
Yeah,
thank you very
absolutely.
Much. Yeah. Okay, so you would do a coffee experimentation, which would be like combining...
Like last week, for example, so you have to grind your coffee to make coffee, right?
Yeah. So you have a bean to cup big machine? Would that be
correct? We have just a machine, and it's our own separate two massive grinders, huge things. Yes. And so last week for our experiments, what we did was, what if in our cup of coffee, we changed the grind sizes? So for, let's say we had 20 grams of coffee, 10 grams you ground at one size and 10 grams you ground at a different size.
Yeah.
How would that affect the taste of coffee? So just things like that, random things like that.
And as somebody who's quite curious, does it affect the...
So oftentimes the answer is very nuanced and we never get a definitive answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But last week when we did this, there's actual potential for that. And I think we are going to change. So this week what we're going to do is that plus changing the temperature of water you pour over the coffee and seeing how that affects the taste.
It's the attention to detail, and it's so most of us would come in and say, I'll have a decaf oat milk cappuccino, which is my latest flavor. The main thing is because caffeine, I get too hyper, I get really, like, my nervous system goes and I remember once I was working and I went into Cafe Temple and I said, how are you doing, can I get a decaf latte or whatever? And I was walking out the door, and next minute the girl runs up, she goes, Chris, I'm really sorry. I went, it's not decaf. And I went, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You're grand. I'm in there seeing clients because I used to work by Druid. So I was always, that's where, and I was kind of going, oh, Jesus Christ, my nerve, you know. And I was kind of going, how do people like?
Yeah.
So do you, in terms of drink, so that, I suppose that's the thing is, cough, like, does it become, do you develop an immunity to the, or do you just have to watch how much you drink? You know, because caffeine can be a stimulant.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel the stimulant side, you can develop an immunity, I feel, for me anyway, but you still, if you have too much, you will feel sick. It's that sicky feeling. We've all had it, like, way too much at the experiments, because especially when we do experiments, like, Enda was last week, they did it with filter coffee, which is like the pour over coffee, and it's like no milk in it. But if we do experiments with espresso, we're all kind of like, oh. Wow. You're like sipping espresso at like that's five hot, like, in the evening,
strong,
then we're all really buzzed afterwards. Yeah, you build some sort of immunity, but there's still that, like, oh god, like that feeling of I'm going to die.
Yeah, because with Amy, when we got the beamed cup machine, so that first day we had it, like, whatever day we came back from a few days away and we were there, I said, right, so she was trying all the different, you know, so she was all do this one, so it was like an espresso. And then she was like, no, I'll do a long. So she must have drank six or seven things.
Oh,
she didn't sleep. She was wired. Yeah. And she went, I think I know why I couldn't sleep last night. Why? She says, I like the coffee.
I've cleaned the entire kitchen with a toothbrush.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, it's any hobby, if you overdo the hobby, like, you know, there's a relationship there that you have to do. And that's actually been one of the 2 years we've been open, that passion for coffee, that relationship between passion and work, you know, and that fine line of balance, that's been a huge learning curve for me personally.
Yeah.
And the same goes for drinking coffee. So
what's it like working together, running a business together?
It's so weird because a lot of people ask that, and a lot of people reference the episode I haven't seen of Father Ted with the couple.
Yeah. And they're like, they're basically, rah, 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 rah. How are you doing, Father?
and like, we did a tasting recently with like 10 different people, or it was 20 in total, but anyway, it started off with a tasting, and then we did questions and answers about coffee, but it very quickly ended up becoming, how is it like to work together?
Everyone's really interested in how
our relationship outside of the cafe and in the cafe, how that works. It's funny.
And can I say, I suppose that's the question, is your relationship in the cafe as it is outside?
Yeah, I would say it's not as, like, affectionate. Like, we're not, like, God, probably imagine if you walked in and we were kissing or something. It'd be kind of, I feel uncomfortable, the customer would feel uncomfortable.
No, I appreciate that. Like, they're get a room. But there's something about the, you know, the interaction that's real. You know, the authenticity of how you relate to customers is the same that how you are with each other, the three of you.
Yeah.
It's real. Like, it's just the way you are.
Yeah, very much so. Like, working together has been fine. The most stress was when we were kind of setting up the business. That was a lot of hard decisions. And
because this is all brand new to us.
Like, we never worked together before.
So. Oh, wow. So you were discussing this for a while. Will we do this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this has been in there.
This has always been Enda's college dream.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So since you had that moment, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much after that, I was like, I need to have him.
And there's something about you need to be in the driving seat of it, though.
Yeah.
It's not enough to be...
Yeah, because you know, unfortunately, hospitality, there's a sense of exploitation in hospitality. People are exploited, like, you know, especially from, like, you know, higher positions to lower positions. And that was also one of the things we want to do. We want to say we can make a cafe that can be successful and not have that kind of...
not have that model.
Dynamic in it, and yeah, so that's what, why we want to do this as well.
And then, you know, with all the stuff then that goes with running a business, like all of the paperwork and the figures and all that, are you, are you okay with that? Or?
Yeah, we were lucky. Enda's uncle is an accountant or a retired accountant. And
so that, that helped. That's great.
Yeah, even just setting up all the spreadsheets. So now, like
of course,
a customer came in recently and she's self-employed and she said she had to look at all her receipts or something all the way back to 2018 and she had no system in operation. And I was like, oh my God. Like, thank God we have our spreadsheets and things. Because
every year you go, please don't be audited. Don't audit. Don't audit me. Receipts, where are they?
But
and I gotta say, the I mean, not all of my engineering was bad. Like, I did, I learned some valuable skills, like critical thinking and stuff like that. And that's really helped. Even the design of this entire cafe, I designed it.
Really?
With it.
You did all the planning permission for it?
Yeah.
And was that because of your engineering?
Yeah.
Is that because of having a degree in civil engineering?
Yeah.
You actually put it to use?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
To design, yeah.
And but even though you it was torture doing it.
Yeah.
It's given you a set of skills.
At least I can,
yeah.
Yeah, I can use some of it.
Wow. But yeah, there is something to be said about the weekend lore, which is probably why I'm like extra buzz on the weekend, is I very much see myself as a barista because I'm like, paperwork can't be done on the weekend. So I'm like, I'm just here on my part-time job, but like midweek lore is like the business running owner person. So there is something to be said about working in a cafe and like operationally keeping it running. Like, it's tiny, it's not like we're waiting tables or anything, but keeping it running day to day and then also doing all the back end stuff and all the businessy stuff. Like, it is a lot to balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I miss that balance to talk about again. That's been the biggest like education for me.
Because you do need space to play, do you know? Like, to have a laugh and just to have fun. Like,
and like, you wanted to do to go well, like, it's a big risk, so you end up like over. What's it, inputting or over sacrificing yourself for it.
So you put yourself, and that self-care becomes an issue then.
It absolutely does.
The first year of Cali was like, because it was just two of us, it was very, very hard. Long hours. I lost like 11 kilos in the first month or two. So
we were 6 days a week of like here in the bar, but then that's also like you going home and you're doing your VAT returns.
So you're working all and that stuff.
Everything. Yeah. And then like, what else can we do? And even our, like, you know, we talk about our relationship, like our relationship as well. Like, you know, when you're going home and everything becomes the cafe and how can we like maximize this cafe.
That your relationship outside of that then has suddenly changed, or it is about that. And it's suddenly,
Or it's not like, it kind of takes a, not like a backseat, but it's like, you know, the idea of going for dinner together and
but I mean, like, I guess it's a bit like having a baby or something like that. You know, I'm, this is where I'm at coming up, but something shifts and then the baby becomes the focus. It's like your full-time, because it is a full-time business.
I'd say so.
It's like Jesus. And so the relationship then changes or something, and you have to somehow work at kind of going, let's go for dinner.
100% And that's, you know, with our second year when we hired Lana. And then we shifted our days, so we're not working 6 days a week.
So do you do work different days?
Like, we all have set days. It's really nice.
And do you get to be off together at all, or do you?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Today.
Tuesday's your day. I dragged them in from Headford. They said, I was like, so guys, you just walked over, did you? No, we drove from Headford on our day off.
Oh, don't be worrying.
But it kind of, like, the way it rosters, our roster is, it's like, we each have a day off by ourselves, which is important. And then we have a day together. And the way we our roster is as well, during work, we're working together now 2 or 3 days a week.
Two days a week.
Okay.
So it's not constant.
It's not as intense then.
No.
Could we get the roster?
Yeah.
We know. So we
can. And if you have any surprise, inputs,
Kind of go, oh, come on.
It's funny, like, people... people that are in every day haven't even picked up on it yet. They're like, oh no, Enda, like, we've been doing this for a year. Yeah, he's not here on like Thursdays or whatever. That's the wrong day anyway.
Tom, end of something.
Yeah.
We're not going. I can't be dealing with Laura and Callie, Laddie, Ali.
Lana.
So, I want to apologize, Lana. Lana?
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassing. I came in here today, I was driving, and I said to the lads, look, I didn't really prepare an awful lot. I don't prepare, I like to let the conversation unfold. But it's Laura and Oisin. There's no Oisin in this business. I don't know where Oisin came from. And I was kind of going, it's not Oisin. And I was like, Oisin? No, Enda. I said, yep.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm used to it. My mother doesn't know her children's names either. Yeah, I've become you.
Yeah. My mother's saying that shit.
You.
Richard.
Yeah.
Fiona. Here. Ian. Martin. All my uncle and all my siblings. And then Chris. Obviously. Thank you.
Last on the list.
So, I mean, I'm conscious of time, but this is something like even talking about this and talking about Callie, to me, Callie is in a different light now for me. There's a different energy about Callie than I had. I had the lovely experience, but now I'm kind of hearing all of these different aspects to it, what ye bring of yourselves into it. That's like, that it is an extension of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just your job. It's an extension of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I really feel that too.
Yeah.
And also like a little shout out to the name Callie, our puppy that we got in lockdown, and this puppy that we named Callie after Jua Callie, which is Swahili for sun or energy.
Wow.
But she was a rescue from Madra, and she ended up dying just at 3 months. Her kidneys didn't form properly because of all the inbreeding, so we named the cafe Callie then after her. So poor old Callie lives on.
There.
I know, poor Callie. God. Yeah. But we have a new dog.
She taught us life is short. Yeah. Go for what you want.
Yeah.
Name it after her and go for it.
That's lovely. So Callie.
Yeah, little old Callie.
Little old Callie. Ah, jeez.
We have Malika now, though.
Yeah.
Another rescue from Madra.
What's this?
Malika.
Malika. Yeah. Callie and Malika. They're very not Irish names.
Yeah.
Malika means queen in Arabic, actually.
Wow.
My brother was working in Palestine at the time, and he was learning Arabic, and he's like, Malika's queen for Arabic. So we're like, that's lovely. Let's do it.
Do you know, we could have a whole other podcast on your family.
I was about to say that.
It's like, good Lord, I'm fascinated. anyway. Look, it's been really nice. I've loved it. I've loved chatting to you. I hope it's been okay for you.
It's been great.
It's
been lovely. And it's kind of, the conversation has flowed. I don't think I'll have to edit anything. I'm trying to decide, is there anything that I have to edit out? I don't think so. Which would be great.
Tom's both ends food poisoning.
Maybe Tom's both ends food poisoning. I mean,
that's fun. The visuals.
Yeah. It's always with the visuals. Oh, I can't wait to listen to the podcast on Callie. I've got my coffee ready. I've got the lads' beans ready. It's great. I got it from the lads. And oh God, oh dear.
Yeah.
But no, it's been fabulous. It's been lovely. Actually, it's been really nice. I suppose we'll bring it to a close.
Yeah.
And say thank you both so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And okay, everybody, I'll talk to you next time. Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks.